Welcome to the Amplifying Leadership Podcast. I am your host, Tara Lehman, a partner, coach, and consultant at Twin Life Coaching and Business Services, of which Amplifying Leadership is a division. This podcast is a place dedicated to amplifying your leadership through our guest stories, tips, information, and more. To learn more about our leadership division, please visit us at amplifyingleadership.ca. Today, I am welcoming Joe Davis, author of The Generous Leader, BCG Senior Advisor, and BCGNA Chair Emeritus. Welcome to Amplifying Leadership.
Thank you, Tara. It's great, great to be here.
And I'm excited to talk with you today. I'm reading your new book, The Generous Leader, as well, and lots of great tips in there. So I'm sure you have lots to share today. But why don't we let our audience know a little bit more about you and, you know, why leadership or what got you there?
Well, of course, what got you there is a very big question, right? Very briefly about me, as you said, I spent 37 years at Procter & Gamble, 6 years at at BCG, Boston Consulting Group, 6 years at Procter & Gamble before that. I always like to say I've got 4 children, 8 grandchildren, number 9 on the way, and I've been married 45 years. What got you into leadership is a funny thing because you grow into leadership, right? Of course.
Yes, not many, of course.
I mean, I guess you could start a company and now you're a leader, but that's not the same as being a leader. You know,
I agree.
I think about it when I've, you know, basically growing into leadership is a series of experiences that hopefully one learns from and remembers and develops and grows. I can, you know, very briefly, when I was a 24-year-old leader, sales manager at Procter & Gamble, and I had just my first leadership role, 3 years into the job there, had sales guys working for me, and I was always scared to death, career sales guys. So they were like 45. I thought they were really old. Scared to death to give any feedback. You know, and I just, for all the reasons you could imagine, 24-year-old, 45. I remember one guy wrote it, study story. I wrote up his review at the end of the year and said all this stuff he had to work on. And he cut me off as I got into it. I said, wait a minute, you ride with me every 2 weeks and you've never said any of this? Mm. What the blank show? You know, so what a powerful lesson for a 24-year-old. Now, of course, I freaked out and I didn't get what I was, but you know, and my boss said, never again write a review with a person doesn't know everything you're going to have on that piece of paper because you gave the feedback away.
Yeah.
So, you know, if I think of leadership evolving for me, and I'm sure for all of us, if you remember those moments or can reflect back and think, oh, wow, I just learned something and capture that learning, not get defensive, blah, 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 and carry that with you. And I think, you know, I'll then jump a long time later. My book would indicate, but I'm quite interested in developing the people with whom I work and ensuring they are thrive at their full potential. I think that's what leadership's all about. If I look back now, you know, the favorite things are when someone will say, you know, Joe, you said such and such to me 19 years ago, 24, when I asked you this question, and it just enough of a jolt to change my direction in a very positive way.
Excellent.
That's, you know, that's really, well, that's my opinion of wonderful leadership.
Yeah.
You know? As well as getting job done, getting results. I'm not saying it's all about being nice. You got to get results. I know that.
You do. Yeah. But I always say the numbers come after everything else is taken care of. You take care of your people, the profit comes because they're happy, valued, and heard. Those are the key words, right?
Yes.
Let's talk about the uncertain times that we're going through right now. And I know that that is a topic you also enjoy talking about. Why is that topic, first of all, important for you?
Well, as it relates to, well, it's important at many deep levels. I have a lot of children. Where's my world going, Dad? So, but we aren't asking that. But, you know, as it relates to leadership, I think actually, you know, you just talked about it's all around the team and ensuring the team is thriving. And, you know, that's so much all more true ever since the BlackBerry began. And that led to change and uncertainty and work-life blur. And you could be on all the time. COVID just drove that home. And, and you know, with all that technology came, you know, a level of connection that means people want to see their human side to work, or they have to, and they want to see humanness from their leader. And it brings anxiety. I mean, all the data, you know, social media like that, and the, you know, anxiety, the data is pretty darn clear. The line's pretty clear. So people are looking for you to be there for them. And then to your point, even today, I mean, You can have whatever opinions you want on today, but uncertainty is definitely something you don't argue about, you
Oh,
know?
it is truly what's out
And
there, right? Change and uncertainty is the given today, for
so you
sure.
have, you know, your teams are, they still want to perform. You still have to, the organization still has to perform. You got to get results. Your teams want to be part of that. They want to deliver. And your job is to ensure they can get through that as effectively as possible so they can deliver and help, you know, the organization deliver. And in uncertain times, I think it's pretty obvious it's even more important that a leader is there in that moment.
And I think you alluded a bit to this, but maybe you can expand a bit more. It's the human touch, right, that we need when we're in uncertain times, because we're so heavy on AI and some or tech or remote workers, right? And so when that uncertainty happens, we feel fear in a lot of cases. So do you feel that human connection really does help, whether it be on Zoom if they're remote or having some,
Yeah.
in-person connection?
Yeah. No, well, I think that's a critical underpinning of humanness, right? Is actually
Yeah.
connecting. I mean, you can be a hermit, still be human. I got it. But, you know, if
Yeah.
you're trying to work with people, the connection is essential. And if you think about when COVID hit, when we're all of a sudden all apart, in a weird way, given the power of Zoom or whatever, but most, you know, given the power of the connection over the web and all that, we started to feel even more connected if the leader made an effort to do it. And I don't know if you ever saw the video of Arne Sorenson. He was the CEO of Marriott. He was unfortunately dying of cancer, which he did pass away not too long after COVID hit. But he did a video for his team that was humble, it was human. You know, he was bald because of the chemos. I was kind of messy. And he was talking about, I know this is a tough time for all of us. I don't know when we're going to be back in hotels. You know, we'll furlough people. But we're not. It was just very clear. It wasn't like I have the answers. And he brought his true self to it, which was pretty bold. Well, it was a very powerful message to all those 80,000 Marriott employees. And even those 80,000 on the screen on the other side that he couldn't see, by all reports, he connected massively with that many people at a time where they needed it.
And it's those personal stories sometimes that really can help leaders connect with their people, especially when we're fearing layoffs or whatever else might be going on. And being authentic, I did see that video and I thought it was
Oh,
extremely
wasn't
authentic. Yeah,
it?
it was amazing. And for a very high level person to do something like that sometimes is unheard of in organizations. So like our senior leaders who are listening, can we help them understand how maybe they can do that if they're not used to that, right? Because a lot of there's an expectation in some organizations that you don't do things like that. But I feel
Yeah.
it's important and I know you feel it's important. So is there
Yeah.
something that they could do to change that a little?
Well, a couple of things. I mean, first off, you know, everyone does it in your own, if you can get to the point, you do it with your own style and what you're comfortable with. Some people might cry in front of people. I'll tell you a quick story. I had a friend who used to be afraid to say, I don't, he was a BCG partner, and he was, when his team would get lost, he was so afraid to say, I don't know. So if you could see the team getting stuck and he was in the room and they were talking and they were going to turn to him and ask him, he'd leave the room before
Oh,
he'd
really?
say, I don't.
Oh.
How is that for productive? So, you know, very simply, one time he thought, gosh, even he acknowledged this is causing a waste of time, you know? So he stayed in the room. He said, you know, I don't know either. A very simple, authentic or vulnerable moment. And the team was, oh, you don't know? And the creative energies went through the roof. If he doesn't know, if we don't know, oh, no. And it's just like, okay, it's okay to move past our fears. Stuck because the boss just said, I'm stuck. So, you know, you asked, I mean, one tip on how. So I asked some people about this, you know, how to, and one colleague of mine said, you know, Joe, think back to a time where you had a vulnerable moment, whatever that might be. And first off, you're still here because it didn't drag you down. And there was probably, you know, what were the, how did people react? They probably said, oh, thanks for sharing that. Or, wow, it was wonderful to, you know, think about that and then figure, and then use that strength if you made it through to step, you know, even a little bit across your line. And another executive told me she used to listen to other executives when they would share a little bit about themselves or a little bit about their uncertainties. And just, you know, she wasn't going to do what they did, but she watched how they do it. The words they use are important. They watched how people reacted and noticed that the organization didn't shut the person down. They actually warmed to them and used that for her own strength to determine when she would step, you know, a little bit more vulnerability zone.
And I think when we are going through change and the craziness of the world today, or even when we went through COVID, that we do feel vulnerable, but we appreciate vulnerability more as well. And I want to come back to you talking about saying, I don't know, because as a leader, we don't have to know everything. I have said this so many times. You don't need to know everything. Your team is there to help you. Brainstorming. I used to love doing brainstorming. Bring the whole team together. This is our problem. Let's go around the room. What solutions do we have? Big, small, out of budget. What is it? Just to build that creativity, right?
Yeah, no, it was so funny. I once gave a talk somewhere, and the CEO came out and said, "You know, Joe, it's so funny because you talk about even I don't know as a simple, but you got to remember when we were kids, like, you know, in school, you have to know the answer. You got to know." Although
True.
I said, "Well, wait a minute. I thought I was always taught eventually, if you don't know the answer, say I don't know, because it's actually a hell of a lot safer to make up stuff. Now, when you're the boss, I guess you could maybe make up what you want, but it's going to bite you eventually. You know
It will
what I mean?"
eventually.
Make it up, it sure as heck bites you. So, you know, you're right, this whole idea, and it's not, you know, it's not like you need, no one has all the answers. You know, all the people I interviewed in my book, there's not a single executive that said they don't ask, get a lot of people around them or not who they're normally with, ask questions and listen. Ask questions, that's what they do. And all of them were humble enough or vulnerable enough, whatever word, to know they didn't have all the answers. I mean, very, very simple statement that Alex Gorsky, who's a previous CEO of J&J, I've listening to him talk in a panel thing once, and he said, "You know, as a leader, it's not your job to have the best answer in the room. It's your job to get the best answer out of the room,
Oh, I
which is
love that. Yes.
it's just your brainstorming point, you know.
Yeah.
And it ain't that hard if you bring a diverse set of backgrounds, thoughts, opinions, people in the room, and you ask questions, you know, to your point. If you don't ask, a lot of people are afraid to speak up. The onus is on you to ask."
Which really goes to that whole inclusive workplace, inclusive leadership type things, like that, asking and listening are so key for.
Yeah.
When we bring a group together, I would bring all levels of an organization together. I mean, I remember one time we were talking about having to, I think it was cut some benefits, health benefits, and we brought everybody together to say, okay, we may have to cut this X amount of dollars. Let us know what you don't need, because we'll try to cut that first, right? By majority.
Yeah,
And
yeah.
we didn't have to cut, but it gave us a lot of good feedback. If one day we did, this is what they don't need, and it would have covered that cost.
Well, you
You
know, in the
never
opposite,
know.
no, I had a funny story like that too. When I was running North America, we figured out if we could let some of this stuff, we have very, very good healthcare program, BCG. And there was something I was thinking of doing. And, you know, I asked somebody and they said, "Yeah, I gotta tell you, if you do that, my spouse will never stop." Because we had a $5 copay, so we had a joke, the $5 bill, and we're gonna go just to $20. I mean, $20, but it was, they just said, "I don't understand the culture around this five." So if I hadn't asked different people in this case, get the opinion of a spouse, oh, it wasn't gonna be the end of the world if we went to $10 or $20, and we did eventually. But you know, there was some insight that I wouldn't have gotten if I just sat around with my own leadership team.
Exactly. And so that's why we need to bring in that diversity and inclusivity and really listen. I like that you talk about ask and listen a lot as well, because it's something that I promote as, an inclusive leader. We have to, listen so that our companies can grow, but get through scary times or difficult times or times like we're shutting down for 3 months, like we did at COVID in some cases, right? And we really need to be able to manage through that. What other strategies do you have for leaders that if we do go through something like that again, I'll say a major event, so not necessarily the uncertainty of the world today, but maybe something more like COVID. Are
Yeah.
there strategies that can help people, leaders
Well, I
lead
think,
through that?
I guess a couple of, well, you and I already talked about being human, being authentic. You don't have to cry, as I said, you can, but you know, bringing some of your true self is a big deal when everybody is nervous. Because if they know, okay, you're not, they want you to be in charge, they want you to be confident in the direction, and you might change your mind, but they don't want you to act like, oh, I know it all, when everyone knows you don't. So this is the first thing, but you and I have talked about that, but it's pretty fundamental. Then another thing I do think is important is, you know, making the effort to connect with the broader better people you can in ways that they hear it. And it's not that hard with Zoom or Teams. I don't want to pick any company over another, but you know, it's not that hard. But there's an important thing. One thing I learned from a a client, you know, how are you saying, what are you saying, and are they hearing what you're saying? And this fellow said when he became CEO, he asked, he had this one guy, kind of a confident, less senior to him, of course, because everybody is. He said, what are people saying about me? They say, well, sir, you're saying you want to cut costs. So, well, I didn't say that. I said, I want to simplify and get rid of the matrix, you know, try to get rid of the complication of our matrix organization. And yeah, I know that's what you said, cut costs. So I didn't say that. But,
Interesting.
you know, the minute you say the word simplify, you and I think cut costs, right? Anyone.
Right.
But this person really didn't mean that. He actually did another trick. He said, if he's going to give a big talk to a large, this would be a senior leader, of course, maybe. If you have 10 people, you can go see them. If he's going to give a big talk, video or whatever, town hall, he would get a small group of his people, his colleagues together, and give them the talk and say, okay, so what did I say? And, you know, like if he used the word thrive and they said, well, you said you want us to grow. Oh, I better use the word grow because that's the word they heard. They didn't hear.
Ah.
Yeah, he says, so he changed the words to the words the audience heard so they would connect. And then he also said, tell me if you were talking to your family tonight about what I said, what did I say? And he listened to what they played back. So, you know, like sometimes, holy moly, that's not what I meant.
Right,
So
yeah.
it's very important in those times of uncertainties, we've already said, to make sure you do connect, but it also takes a little bit of effort to connect in a way that they hear what you want them to hear, you know. And all know how hard that is because people are, first off, they're wondering, what is this person telling me? What's going on here? And then they hear the second time and they space out because they're thinking about last night or something. And then the third time they actually say, oh, I see what you're telling me. So that's pretty important. You know, the being yourself is critical. We already talked about listening, but the communication is essential in as you put it, starkly uncertain times.
Yeah, and I do like that you bring up, communication for people and knowing your audience when you're speaking to them and really trying to use their language. I remember one time when we were told that there might be layoffs back in, I think it was 2008, 2009, when there was a lot going on. There was the recession, yeah. And immediately went to everybody's thoughts that we might be closing our site or we might be laying off everybody in whatever department. Which wasn't true. Yeah, there were a couple layoffs, but not to what the gossip started. And it's because it wasn't communicated down well. Once they started clarifying, what they meant by all of this from the top leadership down, I think they must have been hearing people say, like, "Oh my gosh, you're closing this many sites." And I think they started to change the narrative because suddenly, as the audience, we were starting to understand, okay, it's not as big as we think. Yes, there's going to be changes. But it's not as massive as people are making out to be. So really knowing the audience, communicating to be understood, I think is important, especially during change, right?
Yeah, and actually, I thought, you know, think of what you said also with a level of honesty. I mean, they could have said, hey, no, we're figuring it out. Don't worry, we got it under control. It's all going to be good, which would only make you believe all the more, as opposed to
Right.
listen. Like
Yeah.
Arnie said, I have to furlough a number of you. I am sorry. I will get you back once the, but I can't, I mean, no, there's no income coming in, so
Yeah,
we'll do our best. So he
yeah.
didn't lie, you know, he didn't lie. And now
Yeah.
he didn't. The world's collapsing, but he was so just in your example, of course, if someone said, listen, what do you all say? There will be some layoffs, but nowhere near the magnitude you're all talking about. We're going to keep this place intact. And
Yeah.
that's not fun to say, but it's better than those wild rumors you just told about.
Yeah. It cleared so many people up. There was still fear that is my job the one going, but it cleared up that, we're not closing, three sites globally or whatever. It cleared up that it would only be, maybe it's a layoff for a certain period of time and those types of things. And it made people, it gave comfort to a lot of people. So yeah, let me ask you this, because I want to talk about new leaders, because we do have new leaders listening a little bit. And so, their first time going through uncertainty or these crazy changes or COVID type things, what can we do to help them get off on the right foot? What can the senior leaders do to help those new leaders with their teams?
Well, that's interesting. I mean, I have two thoughts, but you know, for the senior leaders, I think one thing you have to be clear, you have to have your team, your less senior leaders, you have to have their back. If
Right,
they know
yeah.
you're there for them, you're going to coach them, you're going to help them, you're going to tell them if they go sideways, but you're not going to counteract everything they and every mistake they meet, I think that's essential in uncertain times, because uncertain just means everyone's uncertain. So the minute you think, holy crap, I'm lost and my boss is going to beat me up, how can you be an effective leader? Versus I'm lost and my boss has my back. Ah, I can ask my boss, I'm a little stuck, what do you recommend? I think that's probably one of the most important things you can do. Then the other thing I think, which is more long term, is, just reminding, teaching, coaching that you, the leader, have to get it done through your team. You cannot do it all. Now, when you're a brand new leader, maybe you have three people working for you, you might be able to stay up all night a few nights and get all the work done. Then you're gonna get tired, and that won't work. But that doesn't, you have 10 people, and that's, it's fine, because that's one thing I do know is less newer leaders with smaller teams, if they're such that they don't think their team has to, I can get it done. So they don't even think about how do I delegate, how do I coach, how do I train. As you grow in the role, you have no choice. But the sooner you start to learn how to delegate, coach, and train, the better off you're going to be.
Do you feel that mentoring maybe of those senior leaders to those new leaders would be a huge benefit just to help them understand how to manage their teams through this?
You mean mentoring, like assigning mentors, or?
If you were my senior manager and I'm a new leader and saying, Joe's going to mentor me through certain pieces of this, what are
Oh,
your
yeah.
thoughts around that?
Well, I think that's the senior leader's job, isn't it?
Yes,
That's all.
yeah.
I think of a mentor in a different word. So, but yes, that is their job, to coach and support and help. I mean, you talked about asking questions and listening at the very beginning. You could call your leadership team in and, hey, let's just talk about how we're going to manage this. And ask them, but get them all sharing with each other, or one-on-one. It's funny, I struggle with your question because I do believe that's your job. So I didn't quite understand what you meant.
And yeah,
And
and
then
I
sure
think.
enough, to sit in the ivory tower and be scared yourself, or blah, which maybe is what people do, or, wow, if I go down there, I might make a mistake or get my hands dirty. But, teams, they're looking for you to be there with them.
Well, I'm glad you struggled with that because that means you come from great background. I have worked in both types of companies. In my
I
early
know.
career, it was the leaders hide in their office and they don't do anything for their new leaders or their new employees or to provide motivation. And then my last company was very I had great mentors there. So I'm glad you struggled with that only because it means that there's companies out there who are taking things like that seriously. You do have to lead your leaders. You do have to mentor them through this chaos. You do have to provide those support system strategies, whatever that might look like. So it's okay.
Yeah.
I love that you struggled with that because
I
that this tells me there's good companies out there, right?
Now, I was always told, I mean, not to talk about me, but someone said, Joe, one thing is, I didn't come up with the phrase, who I have your back or who has your back, but they said, when you took over North America, we are all clear. You had our back and you expected us to have the next person's back. And that's just a simple phrase to use. When that you say that, and if you think about it with your friend, what does that mean? It means I'm there for them. It means if they need some help, I'll be there. It means they're down, I'll coach. I mean, I'm not going to so desert somebody. The context might be different in the work environment, but the idea of being there is not different.
And I think that, that is wonderful that companies are starting to think that way. If companies don't have that, though, how can they start moving towards that? How can they start thinking, I need to help out my new leaders or even my team members? If their employees are struggling.
Well, the thing I was going to say, if you say a company doesn't have it, then it probably needs to
Top
start with
down.
the top. The top. I mean, if the top doesn't believe it, you can't even get to the question you just asked. I don't want to say you could hire outsiders to, if you believed in it, you can hire, or train your HR team on how to coach and train people to do that, or, bring in outsiders. I'm not trying to pitch outsiders. But I just think it all first has to start from the top, the senior team, believing this is something important. I don't think you can, I don't know, I've touched a lot of companies, and there's different leaders, and some are more hard-nosed and some are less, but they're all trying to drive to outcomes, and they all know they want their team, the good, most of them, they want the senior people want their folks to thrive, to get them there, because they don't get there otherwise. Now, I know there's some tech leaders in our country that might have a different style, but I call them, technical geniuses. They came up with something, but you hear about a lot of turnover in some of those companies,
It's true.
even though they're making money. I got it. I can't deny that. But pretty soon they're profitable. So I don't know if I had, maybe you could even answer your own question, because as far as getting, if your company doesn't believe it, that's a problem. But I can't
It's
believe you're
tough.
really still in business. I don't believe you're still in business if you don't believe that leaders are supposed to develop other leaders. I just don't believe it.
It's either that or, like you said, they're in the specialist mode, but they are strong need out there, and that grows the company. But yeah, I think, like, we did, for example, my corporate world, we brought in an outside company to teach us how to be leadership, train the trainers so we could train our leaders. So sometimes that outsourcing can help, but it did
No,
come from the top down. It did come from the top. The top said, we need to do something different.
yeah.
Right. So your point is very valid. And new leaders who maybe don't have that, maybe they can learn that for themselves and at least deal with their team in a way that maybe others will see going up. Who knows?
My daughter was once she had, was working for a place, and she had to do the same project the third time, the same analysis. So, Dad, this is, I can't believe it made me do the same thing for third. I said, listen, Hannah, it doesn't matter what, so just do the work. But look at your manager. If your manager's great, then watch everything they did that's great and learn from. If your manager's terrible, watch everything they did and learn from them. That is, so it doesn't matter what you're typing on the computer, you're still going to learn from your leaders. And that's, if you, I was just thinking to you, just a brand new leader, well, sit down and say, wow, my best leaders I loved. Here's all the things they did.
Yes.
The ones I really didn't like very well, here's all the things they did. Now you can figure out, do those, don't do those.
Yeah, no, I
You
love
can,
that. That's great advice,
that's not
actually,
that
right?
hard. That's not that hard. You don't need a coach to do that. You gotta
No.
sit down and stop and think and be honest with yourself. But it's
Yeah.
doable.
It's a good reflective exercise to think about your past managers and what was good, what wasn't, because I noticed that mine were day and night. I'm going from a toxic manager type leadership team to a very servant-based, very, wonderful mentorship type leadership team, very different. And it's some, so I looked at the good, I looked at the bad, and I said, wow, okay, I know which one I want to be. And I'm going to follow
Yeah.
that lead. So that is actually, thank you for bringing that up, because it's a great reflective exercise. If you do,
I had
if your senior management isn't there,
yeah, oh, you can get there. Another friend of mine who he worked at Microsoft and he became the head of a company, he had to turn it around and he realized right away, no more lying. We have to be authentic with ourselves and with our customers because they're lying, blah, blah, blah. And he changed his whole attitude after being a go, go, go guy. But he says something he does now. He said, now I'll sit down at the end of the year. And another person coached him. And, how did I do as a manager this year? What could I do better? How did I do as a leader this year? What could I, how did I do as a husband this year? How does it do as a father? How does I do as a person? And he said, if I had, if the answer was there's nothing I can do better, then I went back to the first question and did it all
Start
again
again.
every year. If it's, and so, it's just another version of pretty interesting introspection. That now we're talking about life that we can all do,
I love that. So if we were to sum up our conversation, because we are running out of time today, for all of our leaders out there, what is that next step or that piece of advice around leading through change that we could maybe take as an action this week or next week?
Well, okay, I think the first thing I'd say is remember you are leading, therefore you're leading a team. So that's who you're working for, or you're
Yeah.
lead. Then if you're going to say through times of change, the most important thing you can do is learn everything you don't know, which means ask questions of it, as broad a set of people in your organization, your team as you can, and listen to what they have to say and learn from it. I think if the times are really tough, that is the simplest thing to do. Not simple, the most important thing to do, because there's a
Yeah.
lot of power in what everybody knows. And the only way to get it out is for someone to ask them.
Ask and listen. Two of my
Ask them.
favorite words.
Pretty easy,
Sounds easy, not always easy to
I
do,
know. Well, a
right?
lot of times I think you know the answer. So listening part is hard.
It can be, yeah.
You hear, you don't listen. That's not easy. I get it.
Thank you so much for a really great conversation today. If our audience wanted to find out more about you, find about your book, can they find you online somewhere?
Yep. Well, I have a little website, joedavis.com. It's pretty clear about me. But also I use LinkedIn quite a bit. And if someone wants to connect with
Excellent.
me and leave a LinkedIn message, I do watch it and I will respond. If you're trying to sell me something, I might not, but if you want to connect and talk about some of this stuff, I will respond, I promise.
Thank you so much. I had a great conversation with you today.
Thanks, Tara. This was really wonderful.
Of course, we want to thank our audience, and we do hope that you gained some valuable insights today with our conversation with Joe. If you are a leader who knows that leadership development and growth through coaching or consulting are key to your leadership journey, or you would like to learn more about our Rise to Leadership program, please visit us anytime at amplifyingleadership.ca, a division of Twin Life Coaching and Business Services. And before you go, don't forget to grab this quarter's free leadership resource, Your Guide as a New Leader. It is designed to support new leaders in their first few weeks to build credibility, gain trust, and set a foundation for leadership. The link will be in the episode summary. Until next time, everyone, remember, leadership matters.